Welcome to the Litigation Finance Podcast. I'm your host, John Freund. This podcast is brought to you by the Litigation Finance Journal, the only dedicated news source to the litigation finance industry. Please visit www.litigationfinancejournal.com. Our guests today are Ed Truant and Charles Agee. Ed is a litigation finance investor, and Charles is a managing partner of litigation finance broker Westfleet Advisors. Both are here today to discuss their call for the commercial litigation finance industry to form a trade and lobbying association in the United States. Ed and Charles, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
Thank
you. Good to be here.
Yeah, great to have you both with us. So you're calling for the United States commercial litigation finance market to associate. So big picture that for me. What can the industry stand to gain from associating? What are the benefits there?
Well, I mean, I'll kick us off here, Ed, and feel free to chime in. But from my perspective, it's a unified front. It's a unified voice that's able to communicate on behalf of the industry. And that communication could be, educating the public, doing solid, PR work around some of the success stories and highlighting some of the benefits the industry brings, but also, a little bit of a defensive play in terms of coordinated policy and lobbying effort. I mean, I think that's, there's in some ways there's nothing that's all that different in terms of how the litigation finance industry could benefit from a trade association versus, any other industry. So that's the way I see it.
Yeah, and I think the other element is, the growth that the industry's seen in the last two or three years, both in terms of the amount of commitments it's putting out in the marketplace, but more importantly, in terms of the number of participants it's attracted. I think it's important to ensure that as an industry, everyone's sort of operating under the same code of conduct. There's certain principles that everyone's abiding by. I think that's good for a healthy industry. It's protective for the various stakeholders that use litigation finance, whether it's the plaintiff or the law firm that's also involved in the tripartite agreement. I think everyone stands to benefit from that. And the other thing behind timing, if you look at some of the recent regulatory moves made on the consumer side, as I mentioned, there's been some unintended consequences there, and I think it behooves the industry to ensure they get out in front of those types of things so it doesn't happen on the commercial side as well, or at least there's an understanding that the characteristics of the commercial side of litigation finance are very different from the consumer side of litigation finance, and I think it's important for regulators and various others in the industry to be aware of that.
Let's pivot over to the issues that an association would need to tackle. So big one, obviously, disclosure. This is one where there's some agreement in the industry. There's also some disagreement within the industry on disclosure. So for example, I think you're going to have broad consensus that when it comes to disclosing specific terms of the funding agreement, that's a red line, clearly. But when it comes to disclosing the existence of funding, now you have some funders who say, well, that's an inevitability and the industry should get behind it and be okay with that. There are other funders who have said, no, that kind of disclosure inevitably leads to discovery sideshows by defense. So what's your take on disclosure, first of all, and how can you reach a consensus there? Do you need to reach a consensus there? I assume you must if you have an association.
Ed, you want to tackle this one?
Sure.
Maybe from the investor side, and I'll talk about it from the user and funder side.
Yeah. So, Westfleet Advisors has done this great piece on disclosure trends and jurisprudence. So I think Charles will probably dive into that aspect. But from my perspective, I'm sort of the view that if the courts demand disclosure and there's a plaintiff that doesn't have litigation finance and has hence nothing to disclose, then the lack of disclosure could be prejudicial to the outcome of its case, depending on the resources that particular organization has at its disposal. So I my personal opinion is I think, disclosure should solely be between plaintiff and the courts, with the defense not having access to any knowledge of the existence or terms of litigation finance. But I can appreciate that's perhaps a controversial position to take. From an investor perspective, I think my view is that plaintiffs benefit from having the other side know that there's about the existence of litigation finance. But I can also see where a plaintiff does not have litigation finance, it could be prejudicial. So I'm a little bit torn there. Charles?
Yeah, no, I agree with that, Ed. And, you know, look, I'm old school, but I'm in the camp of, I'm not a believer in regulation just for the sake of regulation. And that's the way I see the whole argument around or in favor of mandatory disclosure. I just fundamentally don't see the need for it. To me, the real policy question is what's going on behind the scenes, i.e., you know, does the funder have control over the litigation or some kind of inappropriate ability to influence the attorney-client relationship? Those are really the reasons that are often cited as to why, oh, well, we've got to have disclosure. We've got to shine some sunlight on these transactions to make sure that's not going on. Well, I think a smarter way to address that problem is to directly address that problem. I think it's better done through self-regulation and a code of conduct. I don't think that mandatory disclosure is anything other than kind of a red herring. It's not necessary to ensure that what everyone fears is going on behind the scenes is in fact not taking place.
Yeah, I mean, you're certainly preaching to the choir on that with me. Do you think, just following up, in terms of gathering together an association, will there have to be broad consensus on an issue like this, on disclosure, or can you have some disagreement there and still form an association?
Oh, look, I think you can have a healthy debate within an association as to what the right posture is toward that policy argument. I mean, I think that ultimately the industry association would need to speak with one voice, and there'd be one coordinated lobbying and policy shaping effort. So I guess, at some level there would have to be a consensus, but I don't, mm-hmm. there are differences of opinion within the industry in terms of the impact of mandatory disclosure. And just to make one other point, it's on the disclosure issue. There is a difference in terms of policy issues around disclosure in the context of arbitration versus litigation. One of the most ridiculous arguments in favor of mandatory disclosure in the context of litigation is, well, the judge has a right to know because maybe the judge is invested in one or more litigation funders, and so for conflicts and recusal reasons, they need to know. Well, I can think of a better way to address that problem. Let's just not have judges investing in litigation funders. I mean, that's seems to be a more direct way to head that one off. But in the context of arbitration, when you have arbitrators who are often have their own active practices, and they're often partners at large law firms, the law firm may have relationships with funders. In that context, I think disclosure to the tribunal or to the arbitrator probably is appropriate, and I think that's really become the custom in the context of arbitration. So there is, there's nuance even within this whole U.S., mandatory disclosure debate.
Right. And on the investment side of things now, you penned a recent article on Litigation Finance Journal where you mentioned that the industry should position itself as a socially responsible investment, or an SRI. So can you elaborate on this more? What do you mean by an SRI, and how does an association help in this regard?
Sure. So socially responsible investing is sort of the concept of an investment strategy which seeks to consider both a financial return on the one hand and a social good on the other hand, to bring about social change regarded as positive by its proponents. So how do you apply this to litigation finance? Well, the application of this concept to litigation finance, the fact that litigation finance serves to level the playing field between the plaintiff and the defendant in a system that currently strongly favors a well-capitalized plaintiff. So if it's executed well, the industry will turn this unfair advantage on its head and make corporate executives really think twice about the decisions they make where they have traditionally had an unfair or competitive advantage, and that they could essentially afford to outspend their opponents to their advantage. So to the extent that the litigation finance industry can change corporate behavior for the better, then society benefits. So how does an industry help in this regard? Well, there's a lot of principles that determine whether something is considered socially responsible investing or impact investing, what have you. And so the industry can help position itself to mainly through education and to demonstrate how it's a net benefit to society, and really through examples of how litigation finance serves to, you know, save companies, save jobs, increase competition, protect injured parties, really all these attributes that the industry can be proud of, but more importantly, I think support either SRI or impact investing.
Ed, have you seen like institutional SRIs directly participating in the litigation finance market in the U.S.?
No, I can't say I've seen it yet. I have seen a fund manager position itself such that they take on cases that only have some sort of social impact to the outcome of the case. But from the investor side, I haven't seen that yet as it relates to litigation finance. It could be going on. I may not be aware of it.
Well, I just think it's interesting from a branding perspective as well, because you have so many institutions that are out trying to brand the industry in such a negative light. And then to brand it as a socially responsible investment, which it can easily is, as you say, I think very important for the industry. And this brings me to my next question, actually, speaking of these entities. I think we all know that the U.S. Chamber of Commerce has been going full force at the industry from many different angles. So if the industry were to associate, this is obviously going to be a big issue. How does an association best handle the U.S. Chamber? Is it just a series of battles, one after the other? Is there a long-term strategy, self-regulation in order to maybe defang the chamber in the long term? What is your take on this?
I love that term, defang. because I think that what the first order of business for an industry association is to come up with a code of conduct or best practices, whatever label you want to put on it, but a set of policy best practices that to be a member of the association you have to adhere to. I don't know how formally that's going to be policed or what the compliance monitoring would be, but somewhere between the honor system versus some kind of an audit system, all the participants in the association, the members of the association, pledge to follow, to follow what I think everyone agrees are the best practices from a public policy standpoint, like not controlling the litigation, like not interfering and having inappropriate influence on the attorney-client relationship. And I think if you do that and it's very transparent and well publicized, boy, that takes a lot of the air out of the balloon in terms of the, what I've characterized as bad faith arguments and criticism by the chamber of this industry.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's a combination of efforts. It's clearly the concept of self-regulation. In terms of picking fights, I think they need to choose their battles and be judicious where they decide to spend time and money, because it's not an inexpensive fight that they may be taking on. And I think the other element is to align themselves with other associations, whether that's perhaps Chamber of Commerce type entities that focus more on the rights of smaller corporations, where there's good alignment between the benefits of litigation finance and the members of those particular associations.
Yeah, I mean, I just to finish on this topic, I think that when the facts are actually out on the table and the reality is presented, as opposed to people's distorted presentation of reality, I think the industry wins that argument every time, and I think that's the main function and probably the guiding strategy behind an association is to make the case for the industry. It's a good case.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and you have some models to go off of. There are other associations, the Association of Litigation Funders in the UK. There's one in Australia. There's also a pair of consumer associations here in the US, Alpha and ARC. So what lessons, if any, are you taking from those other organizations? And are there any models or structures there that are worth copying?
You know, I really don't know. I haven't studied those organizations carefully and don't have any firsthand experience dealing with them. Ed, maybe you have.
I think a lot of associations have a relatively similar structure, but the devil's in the details a little bit. But I think just general concepts like having an inclusive membership standards, as Charles just mentioned, codes of conduct, the concept of rotating boards, all serve to sort of strengthen the attractiveness of the industry to industry participants and makes for an overall stronger association. And then also, I think there should also be an element of sort of global alignment among different industry associations to support one another, as different countries can be influential on other countries when it comes to regulation, that type of thing. So,
I guess just going back to timing, why hasn't the industry associated already? Is there any, can you shed any light on this?
Well, I actually had a conversation with Tim Scrantum, who had done some work with the RAND Corporation to try and organize an association on actually two different occasions. But I get the sense from the discussion with him that there just wasn't enough industry participants at the time to make a go of it. And certainly some of the larger players have undertaken their own lobbying efforts, sometimes on their own and sometimes in combination with other funders or other associations. But that's the only extent to which I'm aware that any association efforts have taken place.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's any great reason why this hasn't happened yet. I think it's a little bit of a manpower constraint issue. I mean, who has time to go around and actually champion this cause, build the consensus, and do all the heavy lifting to make it happen? And then I think, litigation finance is still a frontier market. Even though it's been around for more than a decade, it's still in many ways in its infancy. And, I just think it hasn't matured enough yet for all those pieces to line up and for an association to emerge from that.
So final question, as you approach the funding community with this call to association, what have been the responses thus far? And in addition to that, as you've gotten going with this, what can you say are some challenges, roadblocks in your way, and how are you tackling those as you move forward?
Well, in my experience talking with industry participants very recently, I mean, the response I've gotten is overwhelming positivity. I think everyone agrees that there's a need for an industry association. Now, the devil's in the details, and that's where some of the divergence occurs. You know, for example, there are two different camps. You know, does the industry association need to be focused on the U.S. and does it need to be a U.S. Jurisdictional, only, or is it a global organization? There's definitely a difference of opinion on that point, and probably many other points. But the idea that some kind of formal public-facing industry association, needs to come into existence in the U.S. commercial litigation finance industry, I haven't talked to anybody who's opposed to that idea.
Yeah, same here. I've had a very positive response and a general feeling that the association concept is overdue. On the roadblock side, I think it's all in the structuring of the association itself. I think it needs to be structured in a way that is representative of the industry, is inclusive in nature, in a way that is viewed by its members as a fair representation of its membership base. And so the roadblock or the stumbling block could be where an association is dominated by too few voices. It potentially is doomed to fail. Then you create splinter associations, and perhaps you dilute the efforts of all the associations in total. I think the industry has to sort of line itself under one association, not two or more, and really rally behind that. I know it's easier said than done, but I think it's important to have a single association to represent its members.
Yeah, I agree with that, Ed, and I can echo that roadblock of how inclusive will the association be. I think that's the diplomatic feat that has to be accomplished to pull this together. And that, I think that's going to be maybe the hardest part of building consensus around a particular industry association, is just who's in, who's out, who's, you know, what does the steering committee or the board look like? Who's relatively underrepresented? I mean, those are the kinks that have to be ironed out for this to work.
That's a great jumping off point. And yeah, we're really looking forward to this happening. I'm definitely want to keep, we're going to keep our eyes on it and keep us in the loop at LFJ. We want to hear about your progress more. And yeah, and thank you both for coming on here.
Yeah, well, thanks for inviting us, and we appreciate your support.
Yeah, thanks, John. Appreciate your time.
Absolutely. And if you'd like to contact Ed, you can reach out to him at his email. It's etruant@gmail.com. etruant@gmail.com. You can also reach Charles at his website, www.westfleetadvisors.com. And if you're listening, if you're part of the funding community, if you haven't yet considered an association, it's definitely worth considering, and reach out to Ed and Charles on that. And thanks for listening, everyone. We'll see you next time on the Litigation Finance Podcast.